Well, as I mentioned, this last week, from Monday till yesterday, we were in Florida visiting my in-laws, and I tell you what, I really enjoyed being in 80, 85-degree weather. I tell you, with sun all day, man, I loved it. I loved it. But it's good to be home, amen, and good to be in God's house with God's people. Amen. Luke chapter number 8, and we're going to read one verse together, verse number 15. Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 15. If you have a King James Bible, let's read together in unison. If you see someone who does not have a Bible, please share with them your Bible. Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 15, let's read together one verse. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. I'm going to talk to you this morning about this subject, honesty. Honesty. Being honest. Dear God, thank you again for being a wonderful God. I thank you, Lord, again for salvation. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for church this morning. Lord, just thank you for life. The fact that we're alive, we can breathe and walk and talk and move around, mobile. It looks like everybody here is very well fed. We're clothed. You have given us abilities and strengths. Lord, you have been good to us, better than we deserve. Now, dear God, dear Holy Spirit of God, please speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, bless thy word as we listen to it. And Lord, I pray that we be changed because of thy word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse number 4, Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on, watch it says, good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now, verse number 15 explains verse number 8, the good ground. Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You may consider this like part B of the adult Bible study that we had this morning about working on our own selves and examining our own selves, which is the most difficult thing you'll ever do in your life. When your own faults and your own failures are revealed, it's worse than anything else in life because it can be very humbling. But it can be a good learning experience if you allow it to and work on those areas that we all need help in. As I said this morning, everybody has strengths and everybody has weaknesses. And it's so much easier to look at other people's weaknesses and their other people's faults and other people's sins rather than our own. You know what Jesus said? He said, take out the beam that is in your own eye, and then you may be able to take out the mote, the splinter that is in your brother's eye. But unfortunately, while our eyes are blinded by our own faults, sins, and failures, hypocritically, most times, We want to point out what everybody else is doing wrong to make us either feel better or we're just overly critical for whatever reason, whatever motive. The good ground, Jesus said, is that heart that receives the word of God, look what it says in verse 15, in an honest and good heart. If you've ever had a garden, if you've ever tilled the soil, you know there's a big difference between virgin ground that's never been toiled and you just put seeds on top of the ground that's been hardened and caked by the sun, or the ground that's been rototillered, ground that's been turned over, the rocks taken out, and the fertilizer and the manure put in, and been watered. Well, they can both have the same seed, but they're going to have different results. So you can hear the same word this morning and have different results than somebody else who's sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you. You're going to hear the same sermon, hear the same words from the Lord Jesus Christ, the same word of God this morning. The difference is going to be what kind of ground is the seed falling onto. How pliable is your heart? How malleable is your heart? Or how cold is your heart? How stony is the heart? That as soon as the seed of the word of God comes to the heart, the birds of the air, the devil comes and takes the seed out so that you wouldn't believe what God says. The problem is obviously the ground. It's not the problem with the word. It's the word of God. It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the problem lies with us. As I said in the old Bible study, we don't allow ourselves to let God work on our heart. We don't allow ourselves to open up our hearts to God or even others because maybe we've been hurt before. Maybe we've closed up because something traumatic has happened in our lives. Maybe somebody has hurt us in the past. And because of that, we feel more secure just closing up, and we don't want to hear what anybody else has to say, even God. And that's a danger. Because without the word of God, there can be no salvation. Without the word of God, there can be no growth. So what you and I have to come to grips with is look at the ground. Is the ground ready to receive the plantings that would grow if it was a fertilized, a plowed field with nutrients ready to go into the roots? Or are our hearts cold? Is it like stone where it just bounces off? Take a Bible, please, and turn to John chapter number 3, please. The Gospel of John chapter number 3. It is so easy, as I said earlier, to look at other people with their faults and magnify them instead of our own faults and being honest. That's what the good ground is, a good and honest heart, so that we can receive the word of God. John chapter number 3, verse number 12. Jesus is talking about nature here, if you understand passage here. And he said, well, let's pick it up in verse number 12. He says, John chapter 3 and verse number 12. Yes, that's where I want to read. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So Jesus tells the people here, you know, I've told you about the wind, the air, in John chapter number 3, about being born again by the Spirit of God. And it says, if I've told you of earthly things and you refuse to understand and comprehend that, how in the world can you expect me to tell you spiritual things and you to believe that? Look, I'm not saying I'm the most intelligent or educated person who's ever pastored a church, and I'm far from it, believe me. I cut school too much, and I didn't listen too much. I'll grant you that. But I tell you, you don't have to go past a second or third grade to understand biology 101, that man, whether you believe he's evolved or not, I believe God created man, but man belongs with a woman. Biology 101. You have to be taught to be perverted to think a man goes with a man and a woman goes with a woman. You have to be taught contrary to nature to believe that. And so when you wonder why these people who have swallowed hook, line, and sinker this perversion, why they hate God and don't want to listen to anything about God, If they can't swallow biology 101, ladies and gentlemen, how in the world are they going to believe spiritual things? Look, if you've read or seen any of the things that happened yesterday around the country, like the adults should, you ought to listen to that stuff. How much they hate God. How much they hate the Bible. And then you'll understand why they hate people who either look like the right, represent the right in godliness and righteousness. They hate everything that's associated with God, even if they're not with God, anything that looks presentable with God. It should not boggle your mind. It should not be a bewilderment to you that these people who can't believe in truth, they're not going to believe the Word of God. Amen. The sermon this morning, the message is to you, though, not to the people outside the congregation. A lot of times, we're as guilty, too, because we use the same kind of, I don't want to say principles, but the same kind of philosophy that sometimes the world uses, that we just pick and choose what we like from truth. And that hurts, because we don't want to hear things that would individually hurt us. We don't want to individually yield ourselves to God so that God could do surgery and operation on our heart, open heart surgery, because it hurts too much. It hurts our pride. It hurts our ego. We'd have to apologize to too many people. We'd have to ask too many people to forgive us of our faults and our sins. It would humble us too much, and we wouldn't want to do that because we're proud and egotistical. Amen. I'm talking about God's people. And so God's using this parable in Luke chapter number 8 about the Word of God going on good ground, a good and honest heart. When you read the Bible, are you mad at when you read something, a passage, a scripture, a verse? Or do you say, God, you're right, please forgive me? Amen. Like most all of us, after we got saved, I didn't grow up in a Baptist church. I was 21 years old when I got saved. A lady gave me a gospel tract. I didn't know anything about Baptist preaching and the Bible. I had no idea. You can imagine, as I was reading through the Bible, I said, wow, I never knew that was wrong. Oh, I didn't know that was a sin. Oh. I mean, I either have to either get rid of this book and keep my cold and stony heart, or I have to allow God to plow my heart and get the rocks out, put fertilizer in, turn the soil, and plant it and water it, and let things grow. I would have never imagined, I'm telling you, listen to me good, 37, 38 years ago when I got saved, that God would have blessed me the way he's blessed me. I would have never been able to fathom it. As God says in the Bible, I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. The things that God hath prepared for them that love him. You have no idea what God has prepared for you if you just, with a good and honest heart, love God and love the Word of God. And just open your heart and your mind to God, not to everybody else, but to God. Because these words are the words of truth. And we as God's people are the only representations of truth on this earth other than the Word of God. And when the world looks at us and they see that either we're lying, we're hypocritical, and we're not living according to that book, they're going to look at us and say, well, that's not what the Bible says, or they're being hypocritical about something. You know what? Most times they may be right. But we wouldn't want to admit that because of our pride and our ego. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter number 9. Jeremiah chapter number 9. Old Testament, Jeremiah. We live in a day where most people are no longer interested in truth and in the truth. So we don't want to read the truth. We want to hear philosophies, vague ideas, vague philosophies. You know, we don't want to hear concrete truth because it puts us on the spot. It reveals to us, are we with the truth or against the truth? Do we receive the truth or we reject the truth? Is Jesus God or is he not God? Can't be both. You either have to believe that Jesus Christ is not God, or you have to believe that Jesus Christ is God and the Son of God. Do you believe he was born of a virgin or not born of a virgin? Do you believe there's a place called heaven and hell, or do you believe there isn't a place called heaven and hell? Can't be both. God makes us forces us to make a decision and forces us to choose to either receive the truth or reject the truth. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 9. Verse number 4. I know this is contrary to what we've been taught in schools and philosophy and education today. Take ye heed. Well, let's go to verse number, boy, I want to read all of this, to be honest with you. Verse number 3. And they bend their tongues like their bows for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders, and they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. Watch this. This is the part I want to get to. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. When you get to the point where you teach yourself to lie, you have a problem. When you get to the point where you have taught yourself to believe your own lies, that's a problem. And the best thing to do is just come clean with God, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 18 and verse 11, the Pharisee prayed with himself. Can I say this? You cannot be honest with yourself. You ever hear that phrase? Just be honest with yourself. It's impossible. First of all, you're a sinner. Second of all, you have a deceitful heart, wicked, deceitful heart. Who can know it? Well, if we're all sinners, and if we're, all of us have a wicked and deceitful heart, as God said we do, when you're honest with yourself, you're being honest with a sinner who's deceitful and wicked. No, you're supposed to be honest with God and others. You cannot be honest with yourself. When you're honest with God, then you're going to be honest with others. You yourself are not the judge of yourself. I repeat that. You cannot be honest with yourself, but you can be honest with God and with others because you are not the judge even of your own self. God is the judge. So the more that I'm honest with God and the more that I'm honest with others, others will see me as being honest. The more dishonest I am with God, the more dishonest I am with others, the more dishonest others will think I am. But if I don't love God, it doesn't matter to me. Because in my mind, I'm just being honest with myself. Crooks are honest with themselves. They're getting away with it because they rationalize why they steal things. All right, ask a question. What kind of rationality is it to burn cars and smash other people's property and their windows? Oh, I see, because they're mad. Now, in their eyes, they're their own God. So they, in their mind, have a right to burn cars, smash windows, and steal private property because what reason? They're mad. They're angry because they didn't get their toy. They didn't win the game. That tells you a lot about somebody's personality. It tells you a lot about somebody's character. Because in their eyes, they're being honest with themselves. Here it says, they will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. They have taught themselves to lie so much that people believe their own lies. See, the more you repeat a lie, the more willing you will believe that lie. All propagandists and all dictators know that the more you spread a lie and repeat it over and over again, the more the populace will believe it. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1, the sixth book of the New Testament. Right at the book of Acts, Romans chapter number 1. Do you have a good and honest heart in receiving the word of God and the words of God? Or is your heart so cold and so stony that even when the seed of the word of God comes, it just bounces off, and the fowls of the air come and just take the seed out of your heart before you believe what God says. Not just for salvation, for truths found in the Word of God. Romans chapter number 1. verse number 20. All, this is almost akin to what Jesus said in John chapter number 3. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So God says from verse number 17, 18, 19, and to 20, God created the heavens and the earth so that we could believe that there's a God. Amen. When you look out and don't believe that there's a God that made that, and you think we came here from a big bang, you got a problem. You got a problem. Because God says he put all those things there just so we can know. The sun, look, you think the sun is there by accident. God put the sun in the horizon so that he would tell us there's a resurrection every single morning. But there's a death at the end of life also. But after death and the burial, there's a resurrection coming. And that's why the sun in the Bible represents the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. The four seasons that you and I have are not just so we can enjoy spring or fall or summer or winter. Those are put into the universe as a natural law. Spring when things are born. Summer when things blossom in their fullness. The autumn time when things fade and people are getting ready to die, like the leaves, how beautiful the leaves look, but they're dying. And then the winter time when everything is covered with the snow. And then the springtime again, the resurrection. Well, God put all these things in the heavens and in our earth to speak to our minds and our hearts about the creation of God and the cycle of life. When you reject that, you're probably going to reject most of what God has to say too. But look what he says now. Not only are they without excuse, verse 21 now, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Here's what they do now as a result. Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's why people love dogs and cats more than people. Amen. Yeah. Especially Americans. Anytime you live in a society that's fluent, affluent, lots of money, Germany, England, France, America, notice how they treat their dogs and cats and their animals better than they treat people. They'll walk over people living in slums. They'll bypass the bad neighborhoods, you know, because it's dangerous. They won't go there to try to help anybody. But, man, they don't mind having 2, 3, 4 dogs that are better fed than people are fed in America. That's American society for you. They worship the creature more than the creator, and they change the truth of God into a lie. And they say, well, you know, it's just man wrote that. It's, you know, it's full of contradictions. I'm still waiting for one person to show me one contradiction in the Word of God. I'm still waiting. But they just parrot that because they don't know what else to say. Amen. Because truth can be very convicting to a dishonest heart. Truth can be very uncomfortable to somebody who doesn't want to admit that they've been wrong. You cannot be saved until you admit that you're a sinner. You cannot be blessed of God until you acknowledge that you are a sinner and at fault. God says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are you saved this morning? Have you died right now? Are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Can you show me from the Bible 1, 2, or 3 verses why you know that you're saved, why you know you're born again, why you know you're a child of God? Can you show me from the Bible 1, 2, or 3 or more verses why Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh? Do you know what you believe, or you just come to church like you were before, lighting your candles and doing what the priest told you to do? You just come because you like the singing, you like the fellowship, you like the songs, you like the company that you keep here. Do you know what you believe? Turn to Proverbs 28, please. Proverbs 28. I'm talking about an honest and good heart this morning, honesty. Proverbs 28. And verse number 26. Now, these verses are very convicting because they're true. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of God. This is not a man penning these. This is why man hates the Word of God. That's why they kick this. Hey, here's a question. Since 1961, when the Bible was kicked out of school, how's your public schools been since then? How's the public school been? How's your government schools been? I mean, before 1961, all they had was one book and little money. Now the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that have gone into public education, government education, federal aid, and school and state aid, and local aid, when I say aid, taxes. How's your government schools been the last 40, 50 years? They've been a lot better since they had that one book that they kicked out because people hated the truth. So why are these kids acting like the way they're acting? Well, when you take the truth out and change it into a lie that you teach your kids, you know what? You're a bunch of monkeys. You came from tadpoles. You're nothing but evolution. You're nothing but evolution. When you teach somebody that, they believe it and they act that way. That's why they're a bunch of animals like yesterday and the day before. When you start believing that you're an animal, you're going to start acting like an animal. Amen. But if you believe that you're going to stand before God Almighty one day and you give an account according to this book, you're going to start living right. It'll change your mind and your thinking and your heart and your life. This is not a game that we're here this morning. This is not just a religious ceremony that we're having, read some passages and sing some songs and go on our merry way and not having changed a bit. This is a preaching of the Word of God. Amen. The preaching of the living Word of God, of the living God. That's why it changes people's minds and hearts and lives. And that's why people hate us. You know, Satan hates his book. Satan hates the preaching of the Word of God. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. I didn't write that. But you know what you've been taught for the last 30, 40, 50 years? Go by your feelings. Go by your heart. Whatever your heart tells you to do, you do that. Completely contrary, 180 degrees different from what God said. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Look, and I'm not saying this to be mean or cruel. I'm being honest with you. But the reason why people are in and out of relationships, married 2, 3, 4, 5 times, is because they base their whole life on emotion, not on principles of truth, not on the Word of God. I'm telling you, I'd be there if I wasn't saved 38 years ago before I got married. I know my heart. I'm telling you, I don't even know my heart, but I know enough of my heart how wicked I am. And how sinful I am, and how evil I can really be, let alone. Now, if you don't believe that about yourself, you're on your way down. And that's why you need God, and that's why you need the Word of God, so you can read your Bible every single day. And that's why you and I need preaching. You know what God says? A good and honest heart. Just be honest with God. And say, you know what? I need the Bible. I need preaching. I need God. Somebody once told me, say, well, you're using that religion as a crutch. And I said, oh, no. I'm using it as a wheelchair. Yeah. See, a crutch, you can still get around with a crutch. But when you use it as a wheelchair or as a gurney, you're at the mercy of God Almighty to take you along. I am resting in God only. Not in myself, not in my strengths, not in my talents, not in my intelligence. But in God. John chapter 14, please. Oh, no, before we go there, let's go to Jeremiah 17. I've read it, but I want you to read it. Jeremiah 17. So, a decision that you have to make every time you're confronted with it is, what do you do with truth? Jesus said you must be born again. He didn't say it's a good idea. He didn't say if you feel like it. Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, said you must be born again. Amen. And if you're not born again, you're going to burn in hell if you reject the only truth that's available to you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why reject truth? Why reject Jesus Christ? Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you're listening to some government philosophy that says trust your own heart, when God says you're a fool if you do that. You're listening to Eastern religious kind of stuff. Just go with the flow, go with the spirit. And you know what? That's satanic when you think about it. When you know any, you've done any search or study about that, man, these Eastern religions, the meditation, yoga kind of stuff that they're putting on there, these mantras in there, just let yourself go and let your mind be filled with something that's not tangible, no truth. They want you to get your inner God that Satan is using. The only way God can use a deceitful, wicked heart is for the body to yield to God. Otherwise, Satan uses your deceitful, wicked heart for purposes that you don't really want in the long run. John chapter 14 now. John 14. The Gospel of John chapter 14. Look, I know people get upset when I say things like that. The only reason you like Martin Luther King Jr. is because you don't know the truth about him. If you knew the truth about him, you wouldn't like him at all. You like him because he's black, you know. It's like me liking Socrates and Plato because they're Greek, even though they're a bunch of sodomites. So I'm supposed to like them because they're Greek? I don't think so, ladies and gentlemen. You're supposed to like something because it's right and truthful. And don't pick things out because you're either biased or prejudiced in some way because of your wicked and deceitful heart that we all have. So as soon as a preacher says something, oh, I don't like what he said. Well, does it line up with the Word of God? Does it line up with what truth is? John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, either Jesus Christ is the Son of God telling us the truth, or he's the biggest liar that ever lived. It cannot be both. These people who take the Bible with one hand and try to live like the world and the philosophy of Satan in the world, in the other hand, have a double heart. Speak with forked tongue, are not honest, because they want the praise of men, they want the praise of the world by still acting like they're religious. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Not say, well, there's lots of ways to go to heaven. Well, then Jesus Christ must be a liar in your mind, because he says he's the way. Well, if they believe in Muhammad with all their heart, they're really going to go there. Then Jesus Christ is a liar in your mind. See, the truth can be very uncomfortable, ladies and gentlemen. He's the truth. We're talking about being honest this morning. And the life. See, without Jesus Christ, you don't have life, you don't have truth, and you don't have the way. You don't. I didn't say this church was the only truth. I didn't say this church was the only way, like the Catholic Church teaches. The Catholic Church in 2017 still believe there's no salvation found outside the Catholic Church. I'm not saying it. Their own documents say that. But people get upset with me when I tell them what their pamphlets say and their doctrines say. Amen. But people get mad when I preach on Jesus Christ being the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So what is it that your heart believes today? Do you believe that God created this creation that we have, that God's given to us? Do you believe the natural law that God's put into place, gravity and all that comes with it? Do you believe that God created man and man fell and disobeyed God and now he has a sinful nature? Do you believe the salvation that Jesus Christ himself proclaimed in John chapter number 3, that we must be born again? Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you believe the doctrines of the Word of God, including salvation, that Jesus is Jehovah God? Do you believe that once you're saved, you're always saved? Do you believe that the free will of man is expounded in the Word of God? Do you believe there's a real place called heaven, that when you die, you'll be in heaven with Jesus Christ forever and for all eternity? Do you believe there's a place called hell, that if you die without Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in the lake of fire for all eternity with no escape? Amen. What is it that you believe? Do you believe the standards of the Word of God, the principles, the warnings? Are you honest with God and even with others to admit, like James says, that we confess our faults one to another? Are you honest with God about your sins, your transgressions, and your iniquity? Are you stubborn, refusing to bend to God, refusing to bow your heart before God? Are you refusing to be humble and go along with your own wickedness and your own evil and your stubbornness? Are you rebelling against God? Are you fighting against God? Why don't you be honest this morning with God? Not with yourself, but with God. Because until the good ground comes along, no matter what seed falls on the ground, nothing will grow from that seed, even though it's a good seed, and even though it's a word of God. You can hear the best sermon in the world, but if you come as a rebel, you come as a stubborn person, you come as a disobedient person, not wanting to hear anything about God and anything about truth, no matter what the preacher says, it won't matter. It'll go in one ear and out the other. Jesus said, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? The Bible said, Jesus said in Revelation 22, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Revelation chapter number 2, verse 24, Jesus said, I will put upon you none other burden. If you're not willing to listen to God Almighty, he's not going to tell you anything else, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. The one who's lazy, a sluggard, he's smarter than seven people who have enough sense to tell him what he's doing wrong. But he'll come up with his own philosophy and his own reasoning why he's disobeying God and rebelling against the Word of God, because he hates truth. He won't want to admit it, but he hates truth. Do you hate truth this morning? Or do you love the truth? Are you valiant for the truth? The Bible says in Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 26:12 says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Do you realize that we've all sinned? God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including the preacher, the deacon, bishops, Sunday school teachers, junior church people, church workers, everybody has sinned. If that's true, that means we're all fall short of God's glory. If that's true, then we're liable to sin again. If we've lied in the past, there's a good probability, if we're not careful, we're going to lie again in the future, because we have this sinful nature. The only way to stop that is with truth. Don't you want your husband, your wife to be honest with you? Why would you keep him away from a Bible-believing church? Why would you keep him away from reading the Bible? Why would you keep him away from preaching? Don't you want your children to be honest with you? Why would you keep them away from church? Why would you keep them away from reading the Bible? Why would you keep them away from preaching of the Word of God? Truth is very convicting. It's very humbling. I did not realize I was a sinner on my way to hell until I was shown from the Word of God that I was a sinner on my way to hell. And when I found that out, I had to change my mind about God. I repented and got saved. Very humbling when you got a chip on your shoulder and you think you're always right and nobody can tell you anything. Yeah. Very humbling when you're full of yourself and boastful and you're a hot shot. And you're the life of the party. And then God comes along and knows how to put that pin right in the balloon and pop everything. Huh? Yeah. God knows exactly how to burst our bubble, bring us down to ground level. Jesus said in John chapter number 3, he said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, John 3:21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. The reason why people don't come to church is not because somebody hurt them. The reason people don't come to church is because somebody fooled them, some pastor hurt them, some Sunday school teacher hurt them, some church member hurt them. That's not the reason people don't come to God. The reason people don't come to God is because they love their sin more than truth. That's what Jesus said. I'd rather believe what Jesus said than what a man says. Amen. There's a lot of people that hurt me. There's a lot of people who deceive me. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever had burnt toast? You ever burned your toast before? Did you stop eating toast because you got burnt toast? No, that's ludicrous, isn't it? So you're going to hang your hat on some person or some pastor or some church or some neighbor or some relative who hurts you, and that's the reason you're going to use for the rest of your life why you don't want to live for God. I don't believe it. Jesus said otherwise. The reason people don't come to God is because of their own sin and their own wickedness, their own evil heart, their own deceitful heart. They choose to suffer and love their pleasures of their sin instead of coming to God to be revealed who they really are. Because it's too humbling. It's too humbling. It is too humbling. You have to admit that you're a sinner, you're at fault. You have to ask forgiveness of your brother and your sister. You have to admit that you've hurt others. That's a very humbling thing. But yet God demands that for salvation and for growth. The Bible says in Jeremiah 9:6, through deceit they refuse to know me. Through deceit. 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So the things of the world that God tells us not to love are the things that we would rather have than the things of God. Hey, how's your heart today? Is your heart right this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? Hey, if you're saved this morning and you're not baptized, God commands every single person to get baptized. If you're not saved, God commands you to get saved. Amen. If you're saved, baptized, and your heart's not right with God, God commands you to get your heart right this morning. Don't blame your neighbor. Don't blame your husband, your wife. It's like Adam. Adam blamed Eve for all his problems. And like Eve blamed Satan for all her problems. Hey, don't be like that. Come clean with God and just be honest and say, you know what? I just messed up. I disobeyed God too much. For whatever reason, I wasn't reading the Bible. For whatever reason, I did not read the Bible the way I should have. And I'm at fault because others led me astray because my mind was not in this book, the truth. Hey, this is the truth today. I love the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, but this is truth. There are documents written by good men, but this is the truth. I'd rather have the Bible. I'd rather have the truth than anything else. Are you saved this morning? Are you born again? Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank the Lord for being such a wonderful God. There is none of us in this room, none of us, if we're honest, that are unscathed from this kind of a Bible study and sermon, including the preacher, because all of us have sinned and all of us has fallen short of the glory of God, and all of us have hurt you and hurt others. And you demand for us to be humble, to acknowledge our sin before thee and others. And that's a very humbling thing, dear God. My prayer this morning is for those folks that are here this morning, those who are listening to my voice, they would humbly bow their hearts and acknowledge their sins, acknowledge their faults before thee and others. I pray, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, they've never trusted you to be their Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. I pray, dear God, for anyone else, whatever else is in their life that maybe they have questions or they're struggling with, I pray, dear God, that they would come to the truth and that your truth would make them free. And Lord, that truth would give them power and liberate them. And that truth would answer all their questions that they have about you, about life, about everything. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for being such a wonderful God. Please, please bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying, please.